بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is the style in any madrasa that when they start off a kitab, then they talk about the mawzu, the gharz and the ghayat. In short, what is this all about? What's the discussion about? So we're learning hadith now, so you need to be acquainted as to what is the discussion all about. Because if you don't know what's the discussion, you will sidetrack. Just imagine that it is a nahu kitab, a grammar kitab. The idea to teach you a grammar kitab is that your grammar becomes right, you can grasp the concepts and apply the rules correctly. That's the idea. Now, in this grammar kitab, if someone is looking for a hadith or for some tafsir and is going away in that, then you'll say you missed the point. Say what? Hadith and tafsir. What is the gunadah? So you missed the point. What's the idea? We're talking of grammar. So you won't get the hadith right, you won't get the grammar right. Both you will fail. Then you need to know also, alright, I'm going for something, then why am I deferring? What's the reason for the preference? What's the gharz? What's the ghayat? So for example, in hadith, if you're going into hadith, then the mawzu, the topic under discussion will be the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a Nabi, not just as a human being, but as a man assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nubuwwah. So that's the topic under discussion. Then you'll ask, all right, so you are learning this, what's the verse, what's the reason for preference? So that's the second question that will come in any person's mind. So you're learning this for several reasons. One is that you don't make an error in attributing something to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's a very delicate science to teach you how to save yourself from making any wrong attribution. Al-khata fil intisab. Then, number two, the second thing is that the person that will be closest to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be those الَّذِينَ يُعَلِّمُونَ السُّنَّةِ وَيُعَلِّمُوهَا النَّاسِ. They are the vicegerents of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They learn the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they pass it on to people. Again, that's the second reason. Then the third reason that will be applicable to everything in deen is that we need to know our deen, because deen is the success. To get the deen properly and to apply it rightly, that's your success. So your success is subject to this. So there can be several reasons why you will choose this. So similarly, now when you come here now, there must be a mindset. If the mindset is not there, then you may have given time, but you're not achieving. You are giving time, but you're not achieving, you're not understanding what's happening. So in this type of a gathering, there'll be many types. There'll be those that are just coming for barakat and to enjoy the company, right? But then, normally my greater concern is the students. Students that are studying or have studied already. So my greater focus and concern is the student. The reason is this, that his responsibility is far greater than the rest. He's got a double responsibility: learn the concept, apply it, and pass it on. Learn it and pass it on. So his responsibility is far greater than the rest. Sometimes it can happen that though he's not a student, but he'll grasp the concept very well, and he can also pass it. Means, so being a student is not a prerequisite, not a precondition. Sometimes it is the other way around also, but that is an exception. Like in five, maybe one, two persons like that as well, that they can grasp it very well and they can pass it on. Right? So now the question will be, then what's the mawzu here? The mawzu in this field, what's the topic under discussion? The topic under discussion here is that when we come into this world, then we get lost with color and shape. Isn't it? What confuses us? Color and shape. So this is the thing that confuses many minds. Color, shape, taste, these are things that consume you. For the color, you ran. You saw the shape and you went after it. Right? So these are the two things that confuse your mind. Right? So now, when this thing has gripped your mind, it has consumed your mind. Now, the Sufiya Ikram, the whole idea is to remove you from the clutches of these things that have consumed you. So up till now, what happened to the normal person, he got consumed with color, with shape, and some taste, right? Call it emotion, call it taste. So these are three things that have consumed you. So now his work is to remove you from the clutches of shape, color, and taste, and show you your real abode, direct you to your real abode. Now your real abode in such a way that you become impassionate. Then the real abode is not just a theory or just a concept. Then you are impassionate about it. I need to do this. See? So that's the whole discussion here. Okay. You have been caught, meshed, color, shape, taste, right, movement, all the, these things that consumed you. Now you have to be removed from the clutches, the shackles of all these things here, and then directed to your real and actual abode. That's the idea. And then this has got two parts. Right? One is to open your vision, make you see right, and your vision must come with a passion, not just a vision. Because then it's something like scholarly, academic. Right? You learn some book, more or less, just at an academic level, scholarly thing, and finish. Right? Now here is something different. You're studying it to the level that you become impassionate about it. When you're getting up, then that's the thing on your mind. Throughout the day, that's the thing in your mind. When you're going to sleep, then that's the thing in your mind. At any given time, that's the thing that has gripped you. See? Like, normally a prosperous businessman, then what grips his mind? The thing that grips his mind most is the business. I need to do this business, right? So how do I do it? Where do I source? And where do I sell? What's the prices? What's the market like? What's the feasibility? To the extent, even if he's in a masjid, if he's, for example, selling cloth, right? So, he's going to examine people's kurtas, shirts, jerseys, what fabric is this? What is this fabric? This one looks more smart. Where did you get it from? This one I got a gloss. It's even more attractive. Even a masjid, though, he's eyes are working, right? Masjid, to aur baat, dur ki baat hai. Even if you're in a Qabristan, in a Qabristan also you're going to see, that's why I look smart, man. I must just speak to him. But now, you know, if I talk to him in the Qabristan, he won't look nice. But after that, I'll get him and say, where you got the clothes on? So that business has gripped your mind. It has consumed you. So now, it's just a small shift from the world, from material, to your real, real, real abode. That was what consumed you. So, remove your mind from this into the real goal, real abode. Right? So, now that's the whole idea in the soul. So that one element is to get this right. The second element that is required here is that the most precious thing in a Muslim's life is his connection with Allah Ta'ala. It's the most important thing. I did everything, I spoke, I did a lot of things I did, but what's my connection with Allah Ta'ala? Overall, everybody has a connection with Allah Ta'ala. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu, right? So everybody, every Muslim has a connection with Allah Ta'ala. Whether he's sinful, whether he's righteous, but he's got a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means he understands that I've got obligations, duties, and I have to accomplish those duties and those obligations. Right? So he's got the understanding, he knows about it. Not that he doesn't know. But in that undertaking of the duties and obligations, sometimes he's slipping, sometimes he's coming up, sometimes he is confused, sometimes his nafs has the better over him, sometimes the circle that he belongs to, that circle has the better over him. So a lot of things come into the play. Sometimes the nafs comes into the play, sometimes the people that you associate with, they give you the two cents, right? Sometimes the environment, sometimes the media is saying something. So all these things come, these factors come and jam your mind up. Friends are saying something, nafs is saying something, the media is saying something, the family is saying something else. Right? What you're hearing amongst people, that's something else. So now so many things are coming up into your mind that your mind is getting jammed up. So this is the ordinary Muslim, that he does understand that I need to link up and link up correctly to Allah Ta'ala. But he gets mixed up. Now, when you're coming here, you're coming to get a special light. But irrespective of what happens, you don't get jammed up. And now the jamming up and clogging is such a dangerous thing. Last year in Durban we had the flooding, right? Right. All, most people must have remembered the flooding, right? And in the flooding, what happened? In the flooding, many a town was out of bounds, not accessible, can't even come there. Right. And I was explaining to the students this morning that I was getting concerned, if we have a janazah here in this town, then how are we going to remove it? Would we have to get a helicopter? What should happen? And 2 days later, there was a janazah. And then Allah Pak made the arrangements. It was a helicopter. Came, took the janazah and went, right? But what I'm saying, that even it gets clogged, and it gets blocked, then it's not functioning. Right. So, when I say about the flooding, what happened in the flooding, is people that know about it, they say, perhaps it was the fault of the municipality. Why? The municipality's work was to see to the drainage. And they didn't see to the drainage. So I think it got all blocked up. When it got blocked up, So the water had to come up somewhere. So that surfaced. And then the whole crab city became like a lake. You could move, you could row with boats inside. So the problem, where did it come from? It came from the blockage. Can you see? What a blockage can do? That whole town now is not accessible just because of a blockage. Similarly, in your whole system, in your system, if there is a blockage in the artery, can you function? That blockage in the artery is such an important thing that you'll spend anything to get the blockage right, get a stent, or get something, an operation, something to do, just to see that you can function. Otherwise, you ought to function, can't function. So it's such a serious thing in your life. So now here, when you're getting here, so it is not just a physical blockage. This is not just a mental blockage. It is the blockages of all blockages, the worst type of blockage. You are blocked from Allah Ta'ala. Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi says, one of the worst punishment that will be meted out to the kafir is that he will be blocked off from seeing Allah Ta'ala. كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ أَرَّبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِلَّ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. That will be the worst type of punishment meted out to anybody, that you won't be able to see Allah Ta'ala. Imagine now, in our context I'm talking about, right? So, you invited for some grand affair, right? Say like it's a cup final now. A final, so you had the plane ride, you had the first class treatment, hotel, everything, 5-star, right? But something happened that you didn't land up seeing the event. What happens? That was the whole idea, but you couldn't see it. You couldn't see the thing. So how do you feel? But I just use this as an example. I'm not endorsing this type of sports, right? I'm using it as an example. Understand, right? That you did so much just to present yourself at the event, but you couldn't end up seeing the thing. So how do you feel at that time? How do you feel at that time? So this whole life is so that tomorrow we gain the pleasure and the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. That's the whole idea, right? That's تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدَيْنْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Look at the Sahaba Ikram. What's the whole life about? They bowing down, sajda, right? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Whole idea is the grace of Allah Ta'ala and His good pleasure. That's the whole idea. But now, Allah Ta'ala is displeased with them that He blocked them. Totally blocked them. No access. So, can you imagine what a serious punishment this will be that you blocked off from Allah Ta'ala? So now, the idea here is, see these blockages that have come here into our hearts, into our systems. Right? First, we must identify the blockage. And then, we have to work towards removing and flushing out those blockages. But someone is in denial, he doesn't have a blockage, right? He's in denial, then how difficult it can become for him. That he feels that I don't have a blockage. I'm alright. I'm doing my namaz. That's what he feels. So now, here, through tasawwuf now, the guidance and the barakat of our elders, you begin to understand what's the blockage in the system. I had asked my ustad, Adam Fati Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi, that there were a lot of great awliya present in your time. Al-Mu'a Tami Sahib Rahmatullahi was around. Shaykhul Islam Al-Mu'a Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi was around. The revivalist of Tabligh Al-Mu'a Ilyas Sahib was around, right? Then the person that was like the leader in hadith, you know, the Shah Sahib Rahmatullah, he was around, right? Then people that were in the forefront in zikr, etc., Rai Puri Sahib, he was around, right? So all these people were there, and with all these people, Then you chose the youngest one of all of them, the Sheikh Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi. So there must have been a reason for preference. What was the reason for preference? Like our minds, sitting here, right, before we could go to India, all that. So these were the only people that we knew. Sheikh al-Islam, Imam Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi, Imam Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullahi. So these were the people that we could identify with. But now, notwithstanding, irrespective, but then you went and chose this person for what was the reason? What was the reason for preference? There must be a, you know, you're going for a samosa run, so you haven't seen, and you had samosa in four places, right? You'll prefer one samosa, right? But then they'll ask you, hey, what was the reason for preferring that samosa? Was it more spicy, shaped well, it was more crisp? What was the reason? So you'll ask, you know, you're buying a commodity from a shop, so from a whole variety, range of varieties, right? You choose one. So someone asks you, what is the reason? I ask one. A friend of mine, you know, I asked him to go for the proposal. He went. So I said, Khush, are you happy? He said, yeah. So what was the reason of your preference? You saw other girls, this one here, that one there, that one. So tell me, what was the reason for preference? He said, no, I saw a trick easy. All things. Is that the choice of the reason for preference? You see, beholder, the, you know, you say, love is in the eyes of the beholder. He must like the thing, and then the heart is consumed. The heart is gripped. The king had heard about Layla and Majnun, right? It's a real story. Although they carry it out nowadays like a romance story. So the king had heard about Layla and Majnun. So king thought, no, Layla must be a really, really, you know, doll of its time. What a thing she must be. That Majnun is a professor, very high ranking. But he had fallen for this thing here, so she must be something of the normal, you know, what she is. So he summoned kings with a lot of power, you know. One day, I was sitting with some ulama ikram. So something I talk randomly, miscellaneous. I'll come back to the topic, inshallah. So don't worry now, that I've drifted now, and I'm going to come back. So I tell people that this is like a dispensary. A dispensary, you don't look at sequence. You look at the need. This patient came for a sugar problem. He's got a toothache. He's got an eye problem. So there's no sequence. We'll see the patient and we'll treat accordingly. So same. We'll see the problem and we'll treat. So there were some ulama now, and they discussing the subject on men seated with women, right? Men and seated with women, right? So that was one senior person, a senior alim, he says, well, Dioband had hosted a 100-year anniversary, right? And on the stage, I was there present, and on the stage was Mrs. Indira Gandhi, amongst all the other ulama, a lot of buzurgs were there. So what's wrong in that? Right. So Allah put my mind. As I see, there's one kitab in fiqh, that they teach in the iftar. Amru sultani ikrahu. It's an order, royal order, that's forced. You can't do anything about it. You are pushed against the wall, right? So you don't have any choice. Why? This is a royal order. It's a royal order. You have to say. You don't have to say. But the sin goes on the person that is forcing you. So now you gave a principle, but now you have to support the thing. If you don't support it, it goes on defiance. That's how it works. You explain a concept, but then you must support it. Some substantial evidence you must give. Now see, you have to take a photograph for the ID and passport purposes, isn't it? But a photo is not right. Is it right? Not right. So, you are taking the photograph and nobody considers it as wrong. So, why don't they consider it as wrong? Because it's a royal decree, isn't it? If you don't have it, then they will put you into problems, right? You can't travel, you can't do anything, right? You can't do work, you must have that thing. So it's a royal decree. So now the sin for that, the guna for that falls on the person that is ordering it, not on the person that is doing it. So now imagine now she's the head of the state. Just the army, India army is about 1 million. Right? State of the art weapons they got. So what they can do, what force and what strength, what they can do, they put you away. So Amru Sultani Ikram. When it's a royal decree, then you are being forced. When you've been forced, then you won't count that as a sin. Now you can't use that. So because Ulama Ikram seated with Indira Gandhi, so for us to sit in mixed gatherings is permissible. See the reasoning. The reasoning must be also right. So I have to explain this to students, and when I talk to students, my heart opens out, I can talk a little bit more freely. You must be able to reason rightly. You can't just, you know, there's a qiyas here, and I can analyze. No. You can't use any tablet. There's a system how to analyze. You know, I was sitting in Johannesburg, I think around 30 years ago. So it was all professional people, and the topic was about why can't we just follow the hadith, you know? And you can, everybody's got a rationale, and you can apply his rationale and come to the right conclusions. So what's wrong? So I was silent for that moment, 30 years ago now. I was much younger, right? So now I have to show them now that every rationale doesn't have to be right. But now, if you only say that every rationale can't be right, then it is not satisfying. It must satisfy him. So you can only satisfy him if you show an example. If you don't show an example, how would he be satisfied? And then make it worse, it's all professional people. So how are you going to make them satisfied? So Allah Quran thought in my mind, since some years ago, one friend sent an article to me from the Sunday Times. So it read about an orthodox group of Christians in America, very orthodox, by the book, going by the book, right? Very orthodox. But then they are practicing wife swapping. But they say, they claim, simultaneously, they claim that we are very orthodox, we go by the book. So they ask, alright, but you say you are orthodox and you go by the book, then how do you substantiate? So you say, see, the Bible says, Christ told us that we must share our bread. Now then I told him, how many of you that are sitting here are not married, all married? Are you prepared for this? Everybody's face went down. So there is a thing like rationale, qiyas. But the qiyas has to follow a certain sequence. If it doesn't follow a sequence, the reasoning and the rationale won't be right. Now yeah, everything can become permissible then. Any type of rationale, any type of reasoning is used, right? Any person use any type of reason. So that reasoning has to be professional. The whole sequence has to be followed. Then that brings you to the right conclusion. You say, oh, this is right because of this. So, we are talking, maybe digressed. I asked Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali, before that he spoke about Layla Majnun, right? So the king summoned her and he said, you know, Amru Sultani Ikram. So she was summoned, she had to go. We saw a no big deal, this is best. She doesn't have the complexion, no figure, nothing. What made this person Majnoon? What made him mad over her? So Layla replied, to be able to appreciate Layla, you need to have the eyes of Majnoon. See, it's what the eyes will see. Eyes will pick up something. To be able to appreciate it, you have to have the eyes of Majnoon. What you will see, others won't see, right? You will, a normal, a good Muslim, he will love his mother to birthright. When someone can say anything, or whatever he says, are you going to be turned away? And the mother will like the child to birth. Even though the child is not so attractive, it doesn't have the complexion. But nobody can talk about her child in her presence. That's my darling. It's what's in, what catches your eye. So I asked her, Mustafa Rahmatullahi. So, what was the reason for preference? He says, no, I sat in the company of all his awliya and I felt spiritually elevated, motivated, elevated, I found spirituality. And when I sat in the company of the Shaykh Radis Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, I saw my faults all appearing like an X-ray machine. Hey, this is wrong, that is wrong, that is wrong, that's wrong. So, up to that point, I didn't even realize that I had got those faults. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that I had so much of clogs in the system. So much. Now I began to realize, hey man, what's happening to me? What's going on here? I didn't even realize I had this problem. Now it surfaced to me that I got this problem. And I need to know this because the avenues need to be open to reach Allah Ta'ala. Now if there's so many things that's clogging the thing, then how are my avenues going to be reaching to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? My avenues, my roads, my accessibility to Allah Ta'ala must be open. There mustn't be any clog on the system. Now I understand there's so many problems I got. Then how am I to reach Allah Ta'ala? So I saw that. I see my problems here. Then I feel that all these people are great and far greater than I can imagine. But this is my need. So this brings you to the topic of Tawheed Matlab. The article that was read today is about, alright, it's a story, but it brings you to the point of Tawheed Matlab. Now what is Tawheed Matlab? Tawheed Matlab is that person is coming in, you know, person is coming in. Coming in for this exercise, Tawheed Matlab. He must be convinced that for my reformation, my correction, for my path to Allah Ta'ala, I find this person to be the best person. That means that he doesn't deny any other buzurg, saintly person. He doesn't despise them, doesn't deny them, doesn't belittle them. Yes, but for my need, I think this person is the most suitable person. I can't find a person as suitable as him. So that's Tawheed Matlab. Now why Tawheed Matlab? Tawheed Matlab because, see, this is a very refined treatment. And because it's a very refined thing, it's a mental thing, it's to do with your mind. So mind is the most discreet thing, most discreet. What's in your mind, I don't know. A lot of things that you know, you will shiver to even share with anybody else. And I tell the people, even with your wife, you can't discuss it. You know, of your own past, what you did, whatever happened, you don't want anybody to know about it. The mind is so discreet. So this is a whole change of the mind. The whole mind is so discreet now, so subtle, it's so concealed, but you need to change the thing. And give it the right shape. So for that thing to be given the right shape, you and the one that's instructing you, both of you all need to be on the same page. If he's on a different line, and you're going on a different line, you're not on. He is going somewhere else, and you're going somewhere else. Right? For example, now, we're talking about spirituality, reformation, correction, right? And someone is thinking of that, you know, tafsir is very important, right? Is he on the same page? As important as it is, but on this time here, we're talking about a different subject. See, like someone is doing business, right? So, if my business must go right, investments must be right, tenants I'm getting must be blue chip, anchor tenants, right? So his mind is there. So his whole concern is about business, right? Now, around that time, if someone tells him, let's discuss what you're going to have for supper. Hey, where is my tenant? Small things here, you all sort it out. My business is an important thing. See? So though that is the food for life, but around that time, this is the most important thing. Doesn't it happen one thing at a time? Let's get that thing right. Once that is right, everything else can also follow, also will come in place, inshallah. So, I just introduced the whole thing to you by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah. The other things to say, but now if I start it off, and because it is students mainly here, so it's nice to open this whole thing. Otherwise, the whole thing seems like a mystery, you know. And the books, when you look at it also, English books, it's a mystery. They talk about dervish dances, mystical things, you know, mystery, something sublime and all that. Such words are used as though it doesn't relate to us. You have to be in a different plane to be able to access this thing here. So now, you have to bring it to the level that you can understand that this is accessible to me, I can reach it also. It's not something mystical that you have to be in a different mystical land to be able to relate to it. Allah Ta'ala.